Thank you, Brother Al, and indeed, good evening, brothers and sisters. It's real pleasant to see you all this evening, to be with you. It's a pleasant surprise, I might say the least. Some of you I have met before, hither and thither, but most of you I have not. But it's indeed a pleasure to be with you in the house of the Lord this evening. And as I come to you tonight, I bring the greetings and salutations of our brothers and sisters in Puryear who I met with last Sunday. As I always go to those little groups, I take your love and best wishes to them. And as I told them last Sunday, you know, I don't only want them to know you, I want you to know them. And I don't know how to do it other than just bring our love back and forth and hope that someday we can all get together and meet each other. And it is their desire to do so. I hope you took particular notice of the song you just sang, because I had thought perhaps to sing it to you, and then I thought better, as you all know. And so I had you sing it to me. But that's your sermon this evening. The thoughts that are in my heart came about in a peculiar way this evening. I had some other thoughts, and I sat down and tried to organize them, and it didn't work. And so I put it off for another day and got me some sleep. And I went back the second time, and a new set of thoughts came to my mind, and Irene came to me and said, "It's time to go to bed." And I said, "No, not now," because they seemed to be adding up, but I didn't know why. Because it took a little unusual turn from what I thought I was going to put together. And maybe it'll be a surprise to all of us what the Lord has in store for us. But I have chosen for a scripture the 8th chapter, 13th to 23rd verses of Zechariah. Zechariah here is speaking of the house of Israel, in particular concerning the way that God had treated Israel because of their disobedience. But in starting at 13th verse, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I have thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgments of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. All these things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the Lord of the hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah a joy, gladness, and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. I might go back now a little bit and tell you what provoked my thoughts. It was the greeting that I gave you. As I went to our brothers and sisters there in Puryear, and they were a very small group, one that we have great compassion for because they have no ministry there, among other things, and they are a poor group. Economically, they are poor. But as all of us, they are rich. Rich in knowledge of the Lord and in faith towards Him. And as I have always do when I leave there, I am lifted up and encouraged and enthused. And it's an experience that I can't really explain other than it's the Spirit of the Lord. And I've often thought if I could just leave them as lifted up and as enthused and as blessed as I am, what a privilege it would be. And I wondered, is it right to ask God to be a blessing to a people? Is it right? Should I? Should I ask God for that blessing? And I wasn't sure. God gives the blessings, but I did so want to encourage them in whatever way God would be willing. And so as I opened the scriptures, this one came to me, that he says here that he would make Israel a blessing. We know that God blessed Abraham and told him that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we understand that was fulfilled when Christ was born of his lineage, that he indeed is a blessing to all the nations of the world. Wouldn't it be a terrible and an empty world without Jesus Christ? We dare not think of it, do we? But I felt here that he was speaking of yet a different blessing, that he would make them a blessing to the nations of the earth. As he said in the ending there, they said they would take hold of the skirt of the Jews and say, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. This isn't the only place the scriptures indicate this. We might turn to Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. Starting with the 20th verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, even I will judge between fat cattle and between lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with scythe and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they will no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I'll set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I'll make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I'll cause the showers to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessings. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. And there shall be no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, and they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. I will rise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. Ye are my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. He has described here a beautiful situation or existence, in my mind at least. One that at least some that I have conversed with have put it in what we call the millennium time. But I don't. I don't. However, I will not have any falling out or enmity towards anyone who does. But as he speaks here, he is telling them of something that's very unusual. A time when there'd be no wild beasts. A time when the heathen would not trouble them anymore. A time when they would be a blessing to the nations round about again, as he did there in Zechariah. To me, he is describing the time that's explained in the third chapter of Jacob, as he sent forth his servants the last time to prune the vineyard, and the trees was replanted back in their original places, and they bore good fruit. They bore good fruit. Remember what he told them there in Zechariah when he told them what to do to receive this blessing? These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and let no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. Could we turn to James for a moment and see what James there tells that is normal for mankind? The third chapter, and we'll start with read the first 10 verses. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. Many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they are so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and set on fire, and it is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Kind of stepped on our toes, didn't he? Yes? These things ought not to be. And that is just what he told Israel there in Zechariah. These things ought not to be. That we should deal every man truth with his neighbor, and execute judgment of truth and peace in our gates. And let none of us imagine evil in our hearts against his neighbor. Let no false oath, for all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. You know, there are many words written in these books. And there are many more books written that we might turn to. But when they all boil down, this is what God has asked us to do. To be truthful. To be honest. And to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, and a neighbor as ourselves. Remember the song we sang? Make me a blessing. Out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry this sunshine where darkness is rife, making this sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Jesus and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as was given to you as you need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. And after considering these words, I thought, no, it's not a sin to ask God to make me a blessing if. And we'll let you think about that for a little while. Now turning over to the second chapter of Isaiah, we will see there another time, or I think it's the same time really, but another accounting of Israel being made a blessing to the nations. Couldn't find where it started. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. If I were trying to tell any other group than you tonight what I've just read, that they would live to see that day, they would laugh me to scorn, wouldn't they? Israel, Judah, being a light to the world, a place that we can look to for guidance, a people that we could say that the Lord is their God. I can't believe that, is what they would say to me. But I am convinced that it's true. As I have said many times before, there is one thing that I can be sure of. Only one thing I can be sure of in the day in which we live. That the words in these books is true. And what God has said will be. And I can rest on that. I may not understand exactly how they all come about, but I am sure that they will come to pass as he has said. Let's go now to the Book of Mormon for a moment in the second chapter of the Book of Mormon. And often as I read the words that Mormon wrote, my heart is kind of torn, isn't yours? Because of the things that he witnessed and the anxiety he had in his day, I don't really consider myself a idol worshiper as such. I don't idolize people, this person, that person, but I've often wished I could have met that man and his son Moroni. They must have been mighty men. But I appreciate so much their words and the work that they did. Starting with the 34th verse, "Now behold, I am Mormon. Do not desire to hire up your souls in casting before you such an awful scene of blood and carnage as was laid before in mine eyes." And we know what he's talking about. Mormon lived to see his people destroyed. And he himself fell with them. Though he perhaps was one of the few, if not the only one, who died in those battles with a faith in God and his eye upon the goal that God had given mankind. And he went back to die with them only because he just couldn't stand to see them go without a spiritual leader of any kind, if I understand what is written here. He gave it up once and said, I can't go with you. You know, you're bloodthirsty. That's all you want to do is kill. I can't go along with you on this. And when he left them, the Lamanites began to destroy them more severely. And so he went back and repented of what he had done and decided he would help them as long as he could. And he gave his last full measure of devotion for his people. But never once, as I read it, lost his faith in God, nor his hope for the purposes of God. And so, as he writes here, he doesn't want to draw too graphic a picture of what he saw his people go through. But he left you and I a challenge. Remember we read of how the house of Israel was going to be a blessing to the nations of the world? What is our place? What is our place in the world today? But I, knowing that these things must surely be made known, and that all these things which are hid must be revealed upon the housetops, and also that a knowledge of those things must come unto the remnant of these people, and also unto the Gentiles, which the Lord has said should scatter this people, and this people should be counted as naught among them. Therefore I write a small abridgment, daring not to give a full account of the things which I have seen, because of the commandments which I have received, and also that ye might not have too great a sorrow because of the wickedness of this people. And now behold, this I speak unto their seed, and also to the Gentiles, who have care for the house of Israel, that realize and know from whence their blessings come. For I know that such will sorrow for the calamity of the house of Israel. Yea, they will sorrow for the destruction of this people. They will sorrow that this people had not repented, that they might have been clasped in the arms of Jesus. And then these things are written unto the remnant of the house of Jacob, and they're written after this manner, because it is known of God that the wickedness will not bring them forth unto them, and that they are to be hid up unto the Lord, that they may come forth in his own due time. And I don't know whether that troubled you in my reading, but I read it 4 times before I finally put it together of what was being said there. I thought there was, and I'm not a grammar student. In fact, I'm pretty poor. But I just couldn't really put those words together. I thought there was something either missing or too many words or something else. But I'm going back and read it again. Now these things are written unto the remnant of the house of Jacob, and they're written after this manner, because it is known of God that wickedness will not bring them forth unto them. That wickedness will not bring them forth unto them. And I went through that, you know, several times. What's he saying? He's talking about the words that he's writing. He's telling them that they will not come forth to a wicked people. Their wickedness will not bring them forth unto them. Maybe you didn't have any trouble with that, but I did for a moment. And they are to be hid up unto the Lord, and that they may come forth in his own due time. And this is the commandment which I have received. And behold, it shall come forth according to the commandment of the Lord, and it shall see fit in his wisdom, when he shall see fit in his wisdom. And behold, they shall go forth unto the unbelieving of the Jews. And for this intent shall they go, that they may persuade that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That the Father may bring about, through his most beloved, his great and eternal purposes, in restoring the Jews and all the house of Israel to the land of their inheritances, which the Lord their God hath given them unto the fulfilling of his covenant. And also that the seed of this people may be fully believe his gospel, which will go forth unto them from the Gentiles. For this people shall be scattered, and shall become a dark and a filthy and a loathsome people, beyond the descriptions of that which ever hath been amongst us, yea, even that which hath been among the Lamanites, and this because of their unbelief and idolatry. But behold, the Spirit of the Lord hath already ceased to strive with their fathers, and they are without Christ and God in the world, and they are driven about as chaff before the wind. They were once a delightsome people, and they had Christ for their shepherd, yea, they were led even by God the Father. But now behold, they are led by Satan, even as chaff is driven before the wind, or as a vessel is tossed about upon the waves, without sail or anchor, without anything wherewith to steer her, and even as she is, so are they. And below, behold, the Lord hath reserved their blessings, which they might have received in the land, for the Gentiles, who shall possess the land. But behold, it shall come to pass that they shall be driven and scattered by the Gentiles, and after they have been driven and scattered by the Gentiles, behold, then will the Lord remember the covenant which he has made with Abraham and unto all the house of Israel. And also the Lord will remember the prayers of the righteous which have been put up unto him for them. O then, ye Gentiles, how can you stand before the power of God except you repent and turn from your evil ways? Know ye not that ye are in the hands of God? Know ye not that he hath all power, and at his great command the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll? Therefore repent ye and humble yourselves before him, lest he shall come out in justice against you, lest a remnant of the seed of Jacob shall go forth among you as a lion and tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver. Can we feel the compassion that Mormon had for his people here? We should. As I read these words, he's telling us that we must. He has given us this precious book, not just as a keepsake, but as a charge. We have a responsibility. It would seem that we have not done too good with it, with our own nation, as much as I hate to say that, because we cannot claim to be a Christian nation anymore, even though our forefathers founded this nation upon Christian principles. And I am sure that there was sin there in those days, but I'm not standing in judge of them. I imagine most of you, as most of our people, have read the book, The Light and the Glory, as well as the words that written in this book, and we know by reading this book that God has made a promise unto this land and all who will dwell here. It's no accident that this Gentile nation was born upon this land. It was no accident. It was directed by the hand of God. And it has lasted down into our day. And I hope we do not see it go well. I'm sure that we will not see it go down in our day, because, among other things, the vision that God gave George Washington, that this nation would last as long as the stars remained in the heavens. But he didn't promise that Leslie Case would be there, did he? No, he didn't. That's his responsibility. And he will take care of this nation as he sees fit. And whether I am there or not depends on what I do, doesn't it? I just read there that one of the things that would bring Israel to the knowledge of their God was the prayers of the righteous that would be lifted up to him. As much as I would desire to see this Gentile nation fall to their knees and repent. I must also desire that the house of Israel would also fall to their knees and repent. The promise was made to the house of Israel. And I read to you three places where that blessing would be realized by them in the last days, when they would once more become a delightsome people, a respected people, a people who was looked up to for one reason and one reason only, because they did that which was right and true. And so we have a responsibility. Probably not all of us, and maybe none of us, will have the opportunity to carry the words that Mormon wrote, and Moroni wrote, and as well as Nephi, and of course, all we have here is what Mormon and Moroni have read, isn't it? But we may never have the opportunity to carry it personally to the house of Israel. But we all have the opportunity to go to our secret closets and there pray that God will have mercy upon that people, that they would return unto Him as He has asked them to, that they might realize what He is telling them here. And we know, all of us here, I believe, that what Mormon wrote was just concerning the house of Jacob. But Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Isaiah wrote to the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. Every one of them. Wherever they are. No, they are not promised that they would all return and be His people. Only those who would repent. But He will establish His kingdom among them. And they will be His people. And He will be their God. I told you a while ago that I had decided from my prayer and my reading that it was not wrong to ask God to be a blessing to someone, to some people, if chapter. Paul wrote, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. I need to know where my strength comes from, don't I? I need to know who it is that gives me words to speak to be a blessing. And then give the thanks there. Because he gave the increase. He gave the words. And he gave the thought, the motivation, the strength, the courage, and the insight, or whatever else it might have taken. Yes, we have a great responsibility ahead of us. One is second to none. This morning our brother asked us if we felt that perhaps we was, I don't remember the exact words, but deprived because we did not get to live in the days upon this land following Christ's visit here. That 200 years when there was no iniquity in all the land, when there was peace, when they dealt justly one with another, when there was could not have been a more joyful people in all the world at any time of history than they. We have that opportunity. We have that opportunity to enjoy those same things. And though it might be a little bit more difficult in the surroundings that most of us exist in day by day, I still am able to feel that joy, that peace, and I'm lost for words to describe what the power of God does to us. But I don't think I need to explain it to you, do I? You know what I'm talking about. When I realize where my strength comes for my day-to-day labor, when I realize where my existence comes from, and all the blessings that I have received in my entire life, I feel that presence of God. And I think I understand what they're saying when they said there could not be a more joyful people in all the world. And I would desire that this people that Mormon wrote of would be able to experience it as well. And I know they will, some of them, when God moves to that end. And we have heard many statements and we see these signs that it must be in the near future. How near? I don't know. And I dare say that none of you know. But that's not important. The thing that is important that we should be about our Father's business of humbling ourselves before Him, going to our secret closets and pleading for guidance and for direction, for the courage and the strength to be a blessing. And in so being a blessing, we will be blessed. And I have decided that's the reason I am so encouraged. Because I have been blessed. But I desire to enjoy more and greater blessings. And to do that, I must comply with what Zacharias said. I must learn to control this unwieldy member of my body, the tongue, to speak no evil. I must learn to cultivate within my heart a love that would not return evil for evil, but to turn the other cheek, if necessary or if it's called upon. To have compassion upon those who would persecute, or those who have become a loathsome people. I must have compassion for them and desire with all my heart that they would receive of God those blessings that He has for them. I hope my words this evening has meant as much to you as they do to me, because as usual, my words are as much to me as they are to you. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Let us remember the announcements for the week, and particularly the postponement of our young married couples meeting that normally would have been on our dinner Sunday today, will be next Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, and it will be here. We will close with hymn number 260.